Blog Talk Radio.
And ground Saturday night open mic. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Something inside me just won't let me. Something inside me, Lord, just won't let me. My baby's gone. Something inside me, Lord.
This is Our Common Ground. Thank you for joining us tonight for Talk That Matters. I'm Janice Graham, and I'll be listening for you, speaking truth to power and ourselves. Our Common Ground.
On this brisk, chilly Saturday evening at Our Common Ground, speaking truth to power and ourselves, I'm Janice Graham. And good evening to you, all of our listeners. We welcome you to our broadcast tonight. Alpha, how are you?
Janice, good evening. How are you? How's everybody?
I was having a hard time getting in here.
Yeah, you're right. I had a hard time getting in here. I had to take a cab. And
no, I was having a hard time getting in.
Well, me too.
My Bradley was singing on one corner, and somebody else was singing on the other corner, and there I was trying to find my way in.
Well, I had a less daunting task. I had to drive around this fried turkey.
Alpha, I just want to tell you, did you fry the turkey in your garage?
Oh, no, you don't fry the turkey in the garage. That's a recipe for a fire.
That's what I thought, as long as you were being safe.
We fry it outside, and we stand there. We have a fire extinguisher on the side, just in case.
For those of you who celebrated Thanksgiving this week, we hope that you and your family had loads of good peace and joy and goodwill. We really hope that you had time off from work and had some a chance to really spend some quality time with members of your family. Alpha, I kind of missed you over the week. And for those of you who are a little bit anxious, India Declare will be returning on Monday morning at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. She took the week off. Tonight we're going to be talking about inspiration and lessons from prison. We will have coming to us by a pre-recorded commentary, Cedric Dean. He is the author of 6 published books, How to Stop Your Children from Going to Prison and How to Save Our Children from Crime, Drugs, and Violence. And he will be joining us via pre-recorded taping. I was able to send to him questions, asking him to address those. He is an inspiration with lessons, how he is spending his time as a prisoner, having spent 20 years in prison since he was 20 years old. He grew up in the streets of Charlotte, North Carolina, where his ambition early on was to go to jail and to solidify his street credibility. And he'll talk to us about some of that. And at age 13 in 1985, he began robbing and stealing. By 15, he was expelled from school for carrying a gun onto a school bus. Months later, he shot someone. Shortly after his 16th birthday, he committed armed robbery and was sentenced to 14 years in prison. 5.5 years later, he was released from prison with the aspirations of being a crack dealer. 11 months later, he was back in jail. And this time, he received life without parole for his role in a federal crack cocaine conspiracy. Cedric Dean has been in prison for more than 20 years. He has served his prison sentence at Tucson, Atwater, Atlanta, Coleman, and he is currently incarcerated at USP Lee, which is in Virginia. How he has changed his life, the new choices that he has made, and the focus that he has placed his energy into is an incredible story. Today, he is a USP Lee prisoner and is committed to helping the misguided see the mistake in not learning from his mistakes. And he'll be speaking to us by pre-recorded interview from USP Lee. His mother, Betty Baker, will join us as well. She will join us live from Charlotte. And she will tell us her story, how a mother's love endured through many crises, through incarceration and encouragement for a son that she loved, but acknowledged that his life had gone terribly, terribly wrong. Today, Cedric Dean is committed to helping young people and their parents. His activism and published book strike at the heart of what we need to do, and that is to save America's children. His work has been lauded across the nation by educators, supervisors of prisons and juvenile detention centers, and he uses his life as a mirror. His story and his work proposes a blueprint and protocol all of us in our community to begin to really deal with the issue of our children marching off by the thousands into a life of crime, into our nation's prisons, and coming full force into what has become a whole new era, as the author Michelle Alexander points out, a whole new era of Jim Crow. In a recent posting from prison on his Facebook page, Cedric wrote the following: "I've been in prison altogether for more than 20 years of my life. I hope that this brief message will get you to think about your future and the future of America. In Chicago, there were over 300 murders in the first 9 months of 2010. 132 were youth just like you. 62% were gang-related. 31 school kids were killed." And he goes on to say, "So I am asking you today to restore the future of America by restoring the values of America. Values are the standards that you should live by, your beliefs and laws. Now is the time to move from the dim and depressing desert of destruction of the sunny pathway of decency. Now is the time to unlock the gates of opportunity for all of America's youth. You must strive to be better than others expect you to be in order to be someone in this world. You must strive to exceed your own expectations in order to have the things that you want in life. If you cannot change when circumstances demand it, how can you expect your life to change for the better? The day I am afraid to change for the better is the day that I am no longer fit to live. Young men, there is a thing called respect. First, you must always respect yourself. You must always treat others the way you want to be treated. You should never disrespect women. Women delivered us into this world. Without females, males wouldn't exist. That's how others feel as well. Nowadays, instead of doing things to please females, males are doing things to please other males. This is my dog. A dog is an animal, and as long as you act like a dog, call yourself a dog, you will be treated like an animal. And while animals stay chained up and confined. In closing, I just want you to know that your failure is America's failure. You can be whatever you will if you give yourselves a chance. Always love yourself and everyone else. In God's eyes, we're all the same. I cannot save you, but you can save yourselves." Cedric Dean, someone who really cares about you. Alpha, I found that one of the most moving letters that I had ever read. Let me tell you a little about some of Cedric's work. He is active in Lee Prison as an adult continuing education He's an instructor of effective communications. He is a GED tutor. He's an instructor of creative writing. He's an intramural sports league commissioner. He's a safety office worker. In 2010, he did Leaders Breed Leaders seminar lectures throughout the prison, writers workshops, leadership class instruction, self-awareness class instruction, motivational speaking, creative writing, and it goes on and on and on. And he is also a computer tutor. I think that it is remarkable that a man has gone A boy went to prison, and he decided to become a man there. It is a remarkable, remarkable story. And I am so pleased to be able to bring Cedric Dean to you and to recommend his book, How to Save Our Children from Crime, Drugs, and Violence. Alpha, I don't know about you, but I just thought it was such, his is such a remarkable story. The fact that even the prison system has recognized the work that he has been able to do over the last 10 years, the work that he has done on himself, the work that he has done inside the prison to bring real change to prisoners, to bring a real set of skills that prisoners can use as they remain in prison and also as they come out. So it is a real pleasure. And one of the people that Cedric has introduced me to is one of his students in his leadership program at Lee Prison, who once when he was on the outside, he considered himself to be a rapper. And now he is doing creative writing and rapping lyrics for other artists. So I'm real pleased to be able to do this show tonight. I think Cedric Dean's story, his book, is so worthwhile. I read the book this week, and I am just so impressed in the way in which he has been able to mirror himself, to acknowledge his mistakes, to acknowledge his, and to transgress. One of the things that I always think about is, what would I do as a parent with a child, a teenager, who just insists on being part of the violence and drug culture on the street? You have to think about those things, but for the grace of God, go I. I know you're trying to call in to us tonight, and we're going to take your calls, 904. I see you on the board. But I really am posing this question. Here is a young man who didn't come out of a home that was so totally broken and so totally absent. And we're going to be talking with his mother, Miss Betty Baker, about her journey, what it must have been like to have to struggle with a criminal for a teenager and to always having to go to prison. I mean, there are very few of us who would abandon our children in all of this. It's so easy to say, well, I would have whipped his ass and handcuffed him to the bed. Well, that's not an answer. I'm also impressed with the insight and the solutions, the very simple but complex kinds of solutions that Cedric Dean presents in his book, How to Save Our Children. And I do want to thank Dunia Correls, who lives in the Netherlands, who read the book and got interested in advocating for the work of Derek Dean, and thank her so much. I hope she's in our chat room tonight. I hope Miss Betty Baker got into our chat room tonight, and I think that this is a discussion that we're going to have over and over, Alpha. I think it's a discussion that has to take weight in our lives. If we are to save our children, it is going to have to be by calculated and respectful strategies to connect with them, to change the world. You know, I was talking to Mrs. Baker earlier tonight, and one of the things that I said to her, and I've said it here at Our Common Ground, Stephen C., you'll remember that I said this. YJ, you know that I've been saying this since I've been on the air here at Blog Talk Radio and at U.S. Talk Radio. One of the things that we've got to do is we've got to stop putting the burden of what the circumstances of the environment in which our children live. I always think of C. Dolores Tucker as one of the people who tried to warn us and preach, who is the rapper prisoner from Lee Prison. We'll talk about this in his comments that he was so kind to send to us about how this music and what musicians must do to change the environment in which our children live in. So, Alpho, I think that Cedric Dean is onto something. And for those of you who would like to write it down, our number here at Our Common Ground is 347-838-9852, and we're going to wait into the second hour to take your calls. So if you're calling now and you want to hang up and call back once we start taking calls, that'll keep you off my back about staying in the on the line too long. Alpha, I think that we have got to, I mean, here's a young man who's doing stuff out of prison that we really aren't doing even in our communities, and we're not in prison. And well, that's one of the things that I do want to talk about.
Well, Janice, needless to say, I look at it, he has time on his hands, and I am, you know, I'm happy that he has chosen to use it constructively, or use it to in a pay it forward kind of way. It it doesn't take a genius or someone to be well intended to go down that path once the deed is done. Buyer's remorse is not the antidote for a consciously bad decision. However, if you can really try to pay it forward with trying to help someone else understand the need for young people, and young people are not going to abide by, think about it. They're going to simply react. They're simply going to do what they feel that has reached them. Now, whether this young man went down the wrong path because of what he saw on television, or whether or not it was his environment and what was around him, either way, at this point, he's made his decisions, but he's also made a decision to try to help down the road. And that's an admirable trait, but, you know, and when it comes down to it, when it gets right down to it, there are people who, you know, who simply don't have that sympathy or empathy for, you know, his particular story, but I'm not one of them. I'm happy to see that he has decided to, you know, move in a positive way. You know, it.
Yeah. Well, let's begin. You're going to hear an introduction by Preach the Rapper, who was and is a student of Cedric Dean's, a friend and a supporter of what he's trying to do. And it is a form, Alpha, I'm glad you used that, of paying it forward. But the other thing that I question is, why does it take, I mean, absolutely, one of the things that I want to talk with Mrs. Baker about is the work that she did as a parent with Cedric. But why does it take a prison to transform the natural and innate spirit in this young man, as opposed to what he was getting on the outside. You're listening to Our Common Ground, and now we're going to reach out to the U.S. prison at Lee, Virginia. We're going to be listening to Preach the Rapper and Cedric Dean, activist, author of How to Stop Your Children from Going to Prison and How to Save Our Children from Drugs, Violence, and Prison.
Learning has to be fun in order to be effective. What Preach has delivered and done for me at my leader seminar is phenomenal. Preach is an inmate by the name of Jamarcus Huntley, and I want to allow each and every one of you to get the feel of my Leaders Breed Leader Seminar. And in order to keep the attention of the people at the seminars, we have to bring a music with a message. And that's what you're about to see. You're about to see the message in the music. And you will see why they call him Preach.
Preach. That's me. I name myself Preach because it means to let it be known. You know, the truth is what I speak. I let it be known. I want to give a shout out to Dean, Cedric Dean, because, man, since I've been down, he's really allowed with my time and this incarceration to go as smooth as possible and allow the desires of my heart, you know, for me to be able to reach out to those that need to hear the truth. You know what I mean? Especially about this lifestyle that we're living in and getting enlightened on. Today's society and reaching out to the children. So shout out to Cedric Dean. You are now tuned in to Our Common Ground, where we discuss the real issues that's happening now. My girl Janice Graham, she be putting it down from the streets to the prison and everybody around. She all about the truth, no lies involved. She speaks the words that'll help us all stand tall. And when it's all said and done, at the end of the day, we pray that somebody was changed by the words of Miss J, Janice Graham. Yeah, you know what? And it just, you know, I've been through some things, man. My life has been a struggle. So, you know what I mean? I really done lost a lot, man. And last year, matter of fact, this year, excuse me, I lost my brother, man. It was 5 murders in our city. You know, my brother was one of them and also one of my close friends. 5 murders in 5 days, and I lost my brother, man. And I've lost a lot of things, man. So I really just want to express that. Man, I done it all, y'all, and I seen a lot. 25 years I done sat and watched my people drop. My mama struggled real hard before her breathing stopped. She tried to do it by herself when we needed pops. But he ain't care, he ain't fair when you're that young to have to fend for yourself and play a high calm. See, all my life I've been a product of where I'm from. Been losing in the game, now it's time to win some. True story, I've lost a lot in my life in just a little bit of time. When I was 5, they took me from mama because she got high. She used to tell me on the phone, babe, I'm getting tired. Then after that, she left the drugs alone and started trying. Few years later, we on the phone, she started crying. She said, tomorrow they gonna let me come see you and Ty. We was excited for real, majorly surprised. I tried to sleep that night, but wasn't no need in even trying. The next day, my social worker pulled up outside. But mama wasn't with her, and she was kind of teary-eyed. Something was wrong, and I could feel it. She tried to hide it. She cracked her fake smile and said, come on, let's go inside. That's when she told me late last night, your mama died. Somebody shot her and drug her body in an empty house. I was stained from the pain, my heart, soul, and mind. But Jesus set me on that rock, so I hold it high. Love, now I'ma need y'all to listen up. And not just listen, but listen and pay attention, cuz. I ain't no different. The only difference is ignorant stuff that I done been delivered from, but y'all won't give up. Y'all really tripping, bro. I'm telling you, put that pussy
us the love. Cause either you gon' get killed or be a prison thug. Look, I'm just keeping it real, that's what he sent me for. They say the real recognize real, so if you real, you probably wanna listen, huh? Days ain't getting slower, kids, they getting bolder. Things are changing fast, be over before you know it. They got the kids singing about in they crack house, but they don't tell them about how the feds will lay them down. Look, that ain't real to me. Man, it's killing me. So I'm letting loose, so what they ain't feeling me? Your ice don't appeal to me, cause I ain't here to be nobody but me. Plus, it's only God I'm here to please. Sisters, I'm talking to y'all too, so take heed. When I see you, I see the woman that made me. You gotta stand up. And I also, and you gotta know, you know what I'm saying, to these rappers, man, from a rapper to a rap, I need to, this message right here needs to be delayed, that we are more than entertainers. You know, these rappers are speaking about a lifestyle that they used to live but currently aren't living. You know, but what they should be doing is giving a message of how they got out of that lifestyle and was able to prosper to success where they're at, how they got there. That's what they should display to these ones that don't have no direction. These youngers whose fathers are locked up, who have given up on even fathering them because they have so much time, who have a single mother that doesn't even put in with them. This message needs to be delayed instead of delaying a message about, you know, selling drugs and this and this and did not live in that lifestyle. We need to understand that our words are powerful and that we are leaders. So I got this to say to the rapper. First of all, let me say this. Old or young, it's life and death in your tongue. Words ain't nothing to play with. They say it ain't what you say, it's how you say it. But why say it if you don't understand what you're saying? Man, stop playing. Look, kids listening to y'all. Y'all done running around hollering rap, you're still pissing in they frogs. 13, 14, they sentencing them all. 13, 14 years behind these walls. It's crazy. But somebody got to step up. Be a man. Whatever happened to Mary Poppins and Peter Pan? Now all they talking is pill popping and get the bag. My people dropping, they ain't stopping, man. It's getting bad. Excuse me, look. Moment of silence for a minute. Shh. For the ones dying for this verse finished. And when this verse finished, the preacher, the thugs, killers, they all gon' feel it. Hey, look, man, I'm tired of hearing rappers promoting this fed time. Got the youngest laying down like it's bedtime. They hollering trap or die, getting them trapped off and dying. While they sitting fine, hitting dimes, they getting time. And she's talking about trapping ain't dead and that they just scared they don't want no bread. But why he ain't out there on the block getting that guap? The same reason that is dying, cause the cops, the feds laying you down now. Look at Big Meech, so much time, some would rather be 6 feet, cause by the time they get home, everything gone, can't get a job, so they go back to the same old. I'm spitting facts to get real raw to you, and put you on this side, man, I tell you it's crucial. Real men, we gon' stand for truth, outside and inside the booth, and we need to know that life is a vapor. No, they say that life is a vapor and we ain't promised tomorrow or even later. So I cherish every moment and hope for the greater. Cause so many choose to live it fast and end up left on the curb to get picked up and thrown away like trash. My mama, for example, she lost her life to another. Then it felt like deja vu when I lost my brother. Neither one of them was barely grown. Sad we wait to realize life's a good thing after somebody's gone. It's time we men step it up. Cause our women getting tired, time to run both sides, ain't much left in her. We need to let life's trials bring out the best in us. Turn our lives around and go and clean our messes up. My friend asked me would I die for him. Nah, homie, but I live for you was my reply to him. Cause life's too precious just to waste it away. Plus tomorrow ain't promised today, so today is the day. And I want to motivate anybody that's living a lifestyle right now. Currently, whatever you're doing, selling drugs, running the street, I know the lifestyle. I'm living right now. I'm doing time for living that lifestyle. But you need to know right now that lifestyle ain't beneficial in no way. I know what it brings. You're tired right now as I speak. You're tired of looking over your shoulder. Forsake that lifestyle and seek change. And also, I want to let you know that for the book, you know, for the mothers, fathers, anybody that needs to know about the lifestyle of running streets, these kids, man, our youth, our future, we need to know that if we don't reach out to them and tell them the truth, they'll never know it. That book that Cedric Dean has, How to Save Our Children from Crime, Drugs, and Violence, is the name of the book. Powerful book. Directions, instructions, knowledge,
wisdom, understanding, different things that you need to apply so that we can help kids get up out of what they're in. And for the kids, it's changing. That book is changing. Every time that book is opened by anyone, the reader comes back and speaks about how it motivated. We're reaching out. We're reaching out to fathers. His brothers in here. His uncles in here. We're seeing change. We're talking about gangsters that's lived this lifestyle for a long time that's changing right before our eyes. So know that change is possible for the youth. Don't give up. Keep on in the struggle, whatever it takes. Let's just get it done, family. I love y'all. May God bless y'all.
In support of his friend and comrade, Cedric Dean, you have been listening to The Rapper Preach. Rock the mic. Our many thanks to The Rapper Preach at U.S. Lee Prison in Virginia for his shout out and for his support. Good looking out, brother, and thank you so much. Now a few words from Derek about Preach.
Learning has to be fun in order for it to be effective. I said it one time and I say it again. And Preach has delivered to you a message of youth that young people can relate to, enjoy, and learn from. For them, if they can't feel it, it isn't real. In my book, I conducted several interviews with young prisoners, and they told me what their parents, community, and school officials could have done differently to prevent them from going to prison. I promise you that their answers will save children. The biggest lesson that you will learn is effective communication. In order to get through to kids, they must understand you, and they must believe that you can understand them too. The book is available at Amazon.com. It's only $10, a very small investment to preserve the future of our youth. I want to say thank you again to Janice for giving me this opportunity, and I want to say God bless you all, and God bless our children.
And there you have Alpha Preach, who is a student of Cedric Dean's in his Leaders Breed Leaders program. Before we go to Cedric, we're going to take one or two calls, Alpha. Alpha, I think you got dropped off. But I do want to thank Ms. Betty Dean Baker, who is the mother of Cedric Dean. She is in our chat room. And if you would like to join our chatters, you can come to blogtalkradio.com/OCG. Also, it looks like Mrs. Baker is having a problem, and I want to give her our call-in number because she's going to be joining us around 10:45 at 347-838-9800. And it looks like she's trying to call me. Also, I wish that we had a better way of handling this, but I can't take her call. 610, you're on the air. I respect you. Thank you for your call. What are your comments?
Yes, hello.
Hold up, Brother Brock. Thank you for joining us tonight.
And thank you for taking your precious time, family, from the holiday and weekend and enlightening us and spreading this message, getting their voices out there. So much, much love, much respect, no doubt. You, Alpha, and the rest. The team is active and well, I see. I guess my comment would have been is I'll make it short. That I'm listening and I hear how, and I do understand how you have to have the message that they can listen to, as far as people that are street minded, people that believe that the credibility of the street is stronger than anything else. So I'm not going to dispute that. That's not my role. That's not my street that I travel. But the part I would like to dispute is if you want to get ahead and if there's a hole in the street, a large hole, just hypothetically, you have to go around that hole. But when you listen to the street mentality, they're willing to go in that hole no matter what to keep their street mentality and say, yeah, I can go in that hole. I can do what I want and survive. But to me, that's just the backwards thinking. So I don't want to be uppity or yuppity. And I don't feel as though there always has to be the message that has that street hook to it. Because if you have
mm-hmm.
a message,
I
that
absolutely
they listen
agree.
To,
but if
okay.
you look at Brock, let me just say this. If you look at the ages
mm-hmm.
and
the young as far as young
the language,
young age.
Of who's going to prison, who's getting involved in violence.
Younger and younger.
Then at some point, and I think that you will enjoy the comments that are being made, Cedric is working with a lot of very young people who spent many years from the time they're 12, 13 years old until they came into prison in a culture that is just really so foreign to us and we don't speak its language. And I think
so
that
should we be
part
so
of
should
what,
we be punished? Should we be punished for not speaking that language, or should they
I
be
don't
punished
think that
for
we
speaking
are.
That language? All right.
I don't think that we are. But what we have
I
to what we do have to recognize, it is a much more electric and interrelated language for our children. And I'm simply not saying that to speak their language is one way of doing it, and also teaching them our language is another way of doing it.
That's how I'm hearing. That's how that's the direction I'm going. We always have to pull people up as opposed to moving down to someone else's level. We should bring the next person up to the higher level. So
there really might be some question about what's higher and what's lower, and maybe that's
But we do know,
you know
that
and maybe
the education level is poor. So you have to always try to bring the educational level up.
The educational system has already failed so many of these.
Oh, don't yeah, you're right.
People
it don't
that
have to be
in prison.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it don't have to be the mainstream educational system, but nor should it have to only be the street educational system. It has to be an educational system. So maybe somewhere in the middle there, I don't know. But I could be wrong. Maybe that is the only way to affect these people.
It's not a wrong or right
there.
Here. And
okay.
That's what we need to get to. There is no right or wrong.
Okay,
it is
well, I'm
going to
hang
only
up.
A way of how many, I mean, we can use 100 strategies
yes.
around this. But you have to work with what you have,
uh-huh.
and when you begin the work, you know it's not any different than trying to reculture people who have been in generational cycles of dependence upon the government, or generational cycles you have to work with. You have to be able to reach who you want to work with. But I hear you, Brock, and one of the things, I want you to listen closely to what Cedric Dean has to say, because Preach is simply one of his students inside. He runs a program called Leaders Breed Leaders. And if we can begin to get all of our children thinking through some of these issues. from the place where they stand. I don't think any of us know any teenagers, for instance, who are not hooked on hip-hop and rap music. So that is part of their culture, that is part of their language, and if we have to begin to use that, I mean, I'm a jazz aficionado. I love jazz, I love blues, I love classical instrumental music, and I love opera. But at the same time, it is not the tool that I have to use to engage the people that I need to engage. Brock, thank you for being with us, and if you have further comments after we listen to what Cedric Dean, the author of How to Save Our Children, has to say, we're going to be playing that very shortly, and then we're going to be talking with his mother, because I think that the inspiration and the achievements that he has made while he's been in prison had a lot to do with something that she did right. Brock, are you still there? Hello? Are we having problems with our phones? Can people in the chat room let me know if we're having problems in this broadcast? I lost Alpha, and I don't know what Alpha calling back in on the number, but I do want to let you know that our number is 347-838-9852, and I know that we have calls waiting, and we will get to you, but right now I think it's really important to... Alpha, are you 200? Hello?
Hello, Janice?
Hi,
Janice?
Alpha. You changed
you
your number
me?
To 200?
I don't
I
know
can't
if it's
hear
200.
You.
I don't know what number I'm on. All I know
I
is I'm
hear
on
you.
Skype.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. What I think we want to do now is to go to Cedric Dean, because his mother is also waiting to come on the air, and I do want to have an in-depth discussion. Right now we're going to go to a very interesting... I sent Cedric Dean some questions, some issues that I wanted him to discuss in his pre-recording. He couldn't join us live because he can't make phone calls out of the prison after 10 o'clock. But I'm proud to present the activist, author, and my brother, Cedric Dean.
I want to thank God for his grace and mercy. Had it not been for him, I would have been dead and gone. I want to say thank you to you, Dennis, for giving me this opportunity to share my solutions to juvenile crime, drugs, and violence with your esteemed listeners. Prior to my incarceration, I was a menace from the age 13 to 21. I did things that a 13-year-old shouldn't even know exist. No child should know how to rob and shoot anybody. But I had people around me that taught me that it was okay as long as it was being done to drug dealers and other criminals. I guess you should call it massive manipulation, because nothing or no one could make me believe any differently. If you were in the game, you were fair game. And the game was a game of death and destruction. Those who played it with me are either dead or in jail today. And when you're in jail, you either change or get worse. Prison can be a training ground for future success or future crime. Change was my only option. I changed everything about me, starting with my attitude towards living. For quite some time, I didn't care if I lived or died. when I was sentenced to life plus 5 years at the age of 22, I felt like a dead man walking. If it had not been for my mother, who told me, son, you will get out of there one day, and her not giving up, I would have gave up. I wrote How to Save Our Children from Crime, Drugs, and Violence because I wanted to address the core causes of juvenile crime and violence, as well as offer solutions.
From a federal prison.
Stories like mine are few and far between. Much too often in prison, newly committed youth become involved with alcohol and drugs, engage in serious violent behavior, and end up in gangs. What I've been successful in doing is teaching young prisoners a better way. In my Leaders Breed Leaders seminars, I get them to look at themselves and see themselves as the world sees them, as gangsters and thugs. They quickly realize that that's not what they want to be, because gangsters don't live that long. So I actually took the effective practices that have helped me transform gangsters into gentlemen in here and shared them with those of you out there. I really hope to achieve much of the same results as I have in here. One of my most proudest accomplishments came from a 23-year-old white inmate named Shannon Dykers. Shannon was sexually abused by his own father at the age of 11, and it played a significant role in Shannon's future criminal behavior. After I helped Shannon to move from irrational thinking and behavior to responsible thinking and behavior, he was able to graduate from my GED class as well as co-author a manifesto with me for saving other abused kids. Three things helped change his thinking. First, I got him to look at situations more independently and precisely so he could think through his choices. Second, I got him to see how misguided thinking produces negativity. And third, I convinced him to believe in his ability to be stronger and better. I told him he could think like a victim or a survivor. The biggest thing was to get him to realize that what happened was a thing of the past, and what happens from this point forward is solely up to him. Now, 32 children died daily by gun violence in America. Most young people who live the gangster lifestyle believe guns will help them get the respect and resources they want. Children believe what they see. If they see violence being the answer to the problems in Hollywood, they believe the same will work for them in their neighborhood. Now, I want to tell you why kids carry guns. They carry guns for three primary reasons. One, for protection. In Chicago, 31 school kids were killed and 218 were shot during the 2009-2010 school year. This year alone, there has been over 132 kids killed there. Scared people would do anything to protect themselves. Second, kids carry guns because they're paid to do so. Convicted felons face a mandatory 5 years for carrying a gun and 10 years or more for carrying a gun in relation to a crime. A child would get sent to training school and gain more street credibility. Lastly, kids carry guns to commit crime. So what's the... It's this simple. If you look at reason, restraint, and resolve, that's my three-pronged process that I talk about in my book. The thugs in my community recruited me because they knew that I wanted a big brother figure in my life. They used reason to get me to do some unreasonable things, and the right reason would have gotten me to stop. With restraint, kids don't have to be forced to do what's right. Restraint makes them do what's right for the right reason. A pivotal part of teaching restraint is encouragement. Instead of letting and telling kids what they can't do, we have to show them what they can do. You can sell cars. The principles are the same as the drug business. Car dealers front people cars. They make commission. They buy wholesale and sell retail. Now, when I talk about resolve, resolve deals with their decision making. Children make more decisions in a day than the average adult. They make most of them without thinking. We must get them to think before they act. Now, I have what you call an L plan, and it's love, labor, and leadership. But it all starts with listening. If you listen, you will learn, and then you can lead them into the right direction. Now, in the past, I was branded as a man of many faces, a rebel without a cause. But today, I am still a rebel, but for a very just cause. It was inside of a federal maximum security penitentiary that I found God. My incarceration has been the most ingenious experience of my life. For a long time, I subscribed to an institutionalized way of thinking. Just mind your own business. But I've decided to discard that as an act of cowardice. I have considered in the past accepting the vain violence that goes on in America's urban communities as an unchangeable reality. But I have come to rebel against that, committing to that line of thinking either, because I've looked at it like this. Just being concerned about my own future, that's not realistic for someone as compassionate as me. So in the end, I decided to do what I've always done, fight. And I vowed to fight for the safe and sound future of our children until the day that I die. I am wholly committed to righting the ills of crime, drugs, and violence. I have examined the way that our children are being manipulated by gangsters and gangbangers. In doing so, I was forced to look at my own manipulative ears, how I contributed to the detriment of my community by dealing drugs and committing senseless acts of violence. What does that mean to me? It means that since I was once a component of the crisis, I must completely commit to being a part of the solution. Furthermore, I can only serve humanity by mastering my own self-destructive desire. For so long, my heart was congested. And when the heart is congested, you cannot reach the head. One is beyond reason. One thing that I had to do was learn how to rebel against myself, how to rebel against my sinful nature and its desires. For too long, there was a conflict between duty and desire. After all, I've done to destroy my own duty. It's my duty to become the son of society, the savior of America's son. Do or die, I shall save as many children as possible or die trying. I say to you today that we cannot be to the drug dealer and gangbanger what they have been to us. We cannot be their enemy. They really are not our enemies. They are our children and loved ones, and they should be transformed and saved. And in order to do that, they must see us as compassionate and concerned disciples of Jesus. Yet we must show them that they can rise above unrighteousness. To achieve that, we must strive to be an example of who we want them to become. With God on our side, we must uniformly refuse to accept the notion that we cannot achieve our goal of saving them. I ask that you join me in my fight for right against might. See, I love all as I love myself. So let us maintain faith without principles and never be content as long as rivers of blood continue to flow through the streets of America. For me, it's virtually impossible to ever be content as long as there's darkness everywhere and our children are behaving like animals, actually worse than animals, because animals don't kill their own. In order to win the battle against the gangbangers and drug dealers, we must stand up and let them know that we will not hand over our children willingly. We will fight with every bit of strength in our bodies
through nonviolent resistance. I say nonviolent resistance because we must reassure them that we will do them no harm physically. God's most powerful gift to man is love. And through love and the pursuit of peace, we will prevail. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, Christ gave the message. Gandhi gave the message. Nonviolent resistance. It worked for Gandhi. It worked for Dr. King. And believe me when I say it will work for us today. Parents, you must go out into the streets and stand in protest of the drug dealing and gang banking. Wherever you know that drugs are being sold in your community, join together with other parents in protest. That's not just the protest over police brutality, but let us all protest peacefully against those that are destroying the futures of our children. Willpower can overcome wrongdoing. Between my books and CedricDean.com, you will find all of the tools that you will need to save our children from crime, drugs, and violence. I have tons of free information for parents and children. I have an over 100-page protocol for saving youth, a national community guide that will help youth recognize individual gifts and strong points and learn how to apply those in everyday activities and relationships. I even have a free manual for involving youth in decision-making in their community, as well as a free counseling club. I am revising my Leaders Breed Leaders books and working on a follow-up book called Born Leaders. And if I can do all of this for my prison cell, there's no limit to what you can do.
You have been listening to a pre-recorded commentary by Cedric Dean, author, activist, prisoner. He is the founder of How to Save Our Children, a foundation and nonprofit organization which focuses on how to save urban children from drugs, violence, and prison. When we come back at Our Common Ground, we'll be talking with his mother, Miss Betty Baker, from North Carolina Lodge. This is the journey of a single mother when a child hits the streets, becomes part of the streets. And what does a mother's love do when it begins to inspire from a prison cell? We'll be talking with Mrs. Baker, Cedric Dean's mother, when we come back. This is Our Common Ground. We'll be right back.
Oh, we're going to be playing some happy songs tonight. Y'all ready? If y'all ready, say yes.
This is Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio, speaking truth to power and ourselves.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Our Common Ground. Talk that matters. I'm Janice Graham, and I'll be listening for you. We'll be right back.
Well, hopefully Dennis is still there. I don't know if you're muted.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was muted. I was doing all this talking and I was muted because I'm still coughing like crazy and I put my mute button on. Thank you for all of you who have joined us in our chat room. We want to thank Dunia Correll, who's coming to us from the Netherlands. I thought that what Cedric had to say, the bottom line is that we have to have commitment to clear the way for our children to be healthy. And as long as we, as he said, as long as we allow the environment to teach them, for them to see, it was my fault, Dr. Deborah, I was muted. We didn't lose audio, it was me. But Cedric was so riveting in this notion that our children will be swallowed up if we are the adults. I hate to go on this rant again about we are the adults. We are responsible for the environment in which we place them to learn, to see, to become big people. And as long as that environment, as Dr. Deborah has been saying in our chat room, Cedric said it in many different ways. I've been saying it for since I came on the air in 1985. We have the responsibility for the community and the environment of our community. No one else has that responsibility. It is the adults. And I do want to welcome Dunia Correll, who's coming to us from the Netherlands, and she is the person who everybody is thinking it's Cedric Dean. It's not Cedric Dean. She is one of the people on the outside who helped to keep his work active on the outside. And if you'd like to write to Cedric Dean, you can by writing to How to Save Our Children @gmail.com. And we are just so pleased to be able to bring to you now a discussion with the mother of Cedric Dean, Ms. Betty Baker, who has been on this journey with him, but has also had her own journey, the lessons that she has learned, the willingness that she and her son have been willing to undertake by looking back and looking forward as well. Ms. Betty Baker, thank you so much and welcome to our Common Ground. I am so pleased to have you.
Thank you, Janet Graham. I am on behalf of Cedric, myself, and all the Radio Listen family. We just thank you for this powerful radio ministry. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Well, I am just, I am really, after reading his book.
Yes.
After thinking about his story.
Yes,
I'm
yes.
just really happy to have you
yes.
with us. Because one of the things that I think that most parents are so fearful of is that their children are involved in things on the outside, and you can't chain them to the bed. You can't, you can't, after a certain time, say to them, "You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't be with them." If they're going to do it, they're going to do it.
Well,
Tell us about what it was like for you to watch your son spiral out in those teenage years.
Okay, I'm so sorry. At first, I like to say, how do you balance being a single parent and working two jobs to make ends meet? One of my biggest mistakes I've made, Janice, was allowing Cedric to have too much free time on his hands. In one of his books, How to Stop Your Children from Going to Prison, I felt so bad. Cedric has a chapter called What's Going On When You're Not Home. And trust me when I say I had no idea what was going on when I wasn't home. I like to say to the parents, it starts with the parents. Make sure they are involved. Not because I was working so hard, they need to know if they're going to cut the grass or if they need to go to baseball or whatever, they need to be involved. Most of all, parents need to spend quality time. By me working all the time, 8 hours working, going to my part-time job, 8 hours sleeping, and the next day you're doing the same thing, I wasn't spending quality time. But I don't feel too bad, Janet, because he is instilling him. He went to church. He was in Boy Scouts. And he was doing the routines, and I can see that coming out of him now. It did instill in him. He always respected me, but I want to say this too. We need to be careful of their surroundings, who they're involved with, and this is what got him in trouble. I never forget when he was 14, that's when I started letting him spend the night with this young man who I knew and knew his parents. That's how he learned the streets. We have to be very careful who they are surrounding with, their role model. You know, I can see in his books now where I went wrong, and I want to say this as a journey to tell my story so it will help the other parents out here in this world so they won't have to go through what we are going to. I know we're out here to help the at-risk children, but it starts with the parents. We need to listen to our children, you all. I can remember the time when by me being a parent and he was a child, he had to do what I said because I was a parent, which was wrong. We need to listen to our children. They can tell us something. We also need to be involved in what their interests, what they like. You know, it's not all about what the parents like, what they're involved. You know, I was so, when I read his book, the different books, I could see myself all in that book, the things that I didn't do. And that's why we want to get that message out here to the parents as well as the children. So we need to be very, very careful. I want to say one more thing, how to stop your children from going to prison. That book is so powerful because it helps parents to learn how to communicate with an out-of-control child in a way that is effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
when Derek first started getting out
of Cedric,
control,
that's okay. It's Cedric, but you know,
I'm sorry,
that's
keep
okay,
calling
honey.
Him Derek.
Uh-huh.
When Cedric started getting out of control, what were the first signs, Betty?
He was real not talkative. He would always be respectful. I can remember I was working with the city. He would come on my job, and he didn't look right, didn't you know. And he was respectful to me, but he wasn't respectful to other people. And he just wasn't, like, taking care of himself, you know. He didn't sell drugs. I mean, he sold drugs. He didn't take it. But you addiction, whatever you do. But you can tell, like I say, I'm going to be honest with you, until he really, really, I was naive and I felt so bad when he really, really got in trouble. That's when I really found out by me working so hard, not spending that quality time. So I was hurt, you know, as a parent. I was hurt, but it was my fault for some of it was by not really spending time like I should have. But I know better now. That's why I want to get out here to the parents. Not just the single mamas, maybe the couples too. We need to know what our children are doing. We need
mm-hmm.
to know.
Let me ask you about the first time he went to prison.
Yes.
I know that was probably a very expensive undertaking for you.
Very heartbroken.
And that you were heartbroken.
Yes. Yes, yes. I was really, I won't say depressed, but I didn't want nobody to say anything to me because, you know, it just really didn't sink in. You know, not my child. I can see my child going to college, but not incarcerated, you know. But you know what? Not trying to make excuses. This has really helped him. But I never forget, Janice. I remember saying, if it's God's will, God, if it's whatever your will, let it be. And that's what he has done. It's been a tough journey over these 15 to 20 years. You know, that's my test has been faith. My faith has been tested day by day. It's been hard, you know, but I keep on doing the work of the God, of the Lord, know what I'm supposed to do. And I see the fruits are making now, you know, and I'm so proud of him. I don't know what to say, but I know we're back on what made him do this. You know, be careful. Just be careful who they're hanging out with, what they're doing. It's been a long journey for me, but I'm here to support him for his vision and his goal. And he's right now, he's saving the children. He's trying to give back. And I just want to say this. I know Lord is going to open that door for him real soon. I just see that vision. And I just thank God for all you all that are, you know, in his prayers. But it's not him. It's the all the other inmates. He started. He was so special. I remember he first went to jail, Janet. He started Bible study and helping people how to read. That's why he was in jail waiting to go to prison. So he was giving back then. So he's been special. So everybody has that gift. It's just got to stir up in you, and that's what has happened to him. And he has reached out and spread it out, teaching these young men how to, you know, GED, you know, get their graduation. You know, it's just amazing. I really can't comprehend it right now when I really think about it, you know. But this is all God's making.
When he went to prison the second time,
uh-huh,
did you expect that he was going to, I mean, he had gotten a life sentence without possibility of parole, and now his sentence has been reduced,
mm-hmm,
to 20 years,
mm-hmm,
because of the work that he has done inside the prison. But did you expect that he was going to spend life in prison?
No, ma'am. The prosecutor had mentioned 7 years, but he didn't work with the prosecutor. And wish he had him, but if you don't, they make an example out of you. And him and another guy, that's what they did for them. But the other guys got off because they worked with the prosecutor. But I still say, not trying to make an excuse, it was all in God's plan. But because he didn't work with them, that's when they gave him life, that the judge, you know. But like I say,
was there any point where you decided, oh my God, I've got a son who's a hardened criminal?
Oh yes, many times. You just would believe how hurtful it was to go visit him. Just to think about it, just think about the holidays. It's like Thanksgiving just passed, Christmas just passed, 15 to 20 years, all these done passed. It's still sad to this day. I'm going to be honest with you, to think about it. But, you know, I try not to think about it too much, but it's hard. And when he calls me every night, he calls me, I have to be there for him, support him. That's what keeps me going, too. And I want to say this to the parents. A long time ago, we wouldn't tell each other we love them. You know, back long time ago, maybe some people didn't. We didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But now we,
mm-hmm,
do it every night. We show that love. But, yes, it was hurtful. It's hard. It's still hard. It's very hard just to hear him speak a few minutes ago. You know, and he's serious about what he's talking about. He's not just playing. He's just not saying this to get out of prison. He wants to give back. You know, the people that – I want to read one point that I had wrote, too. Help the child see how the misbehavior is hurting them. Okay, if you ever want to go inside of a mind of a misbehaving child, this book also allow you to do just that. Cedric helps you understand how to be brainwashed, how you brainwash a child thinks and how to change that thinking. That's not one that I want to read. But anyway, we have to be careful, like he was saying, how the thugs get to them, who are around us. We just have to. As parents, I think I can't say it well enough. You need to know what your children are doing, who they're with. You need to monitor them. But, yes, it has been a hard journey, a hard struggle, but I know soon he will be out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking as I was reading his book,
mm-hmm,
that many hardworking single parents, especially in the Black community.
Yes.
You have to make such hard choices.
Yes.
But you had Cedric in Boy Scouts.
Yes, yes.
He was active in your church.
Yes.
And I want to say to you as a mother to mother, I,
yes,
understand how hard it is. Teenage years are hard. And for those,
yes,
of you who are listening who never,
yes,
had teenage children, you never understand it until you're there.
It's a challenge, that's right.
That teenage years are hard. They're pulling against you. You're trying to rein them in and pull them back in and hold on to them, and they're trying to free themselves.
Very rebellious.
And that is the,
yes,
the cycle.
Yes.
But one of the things I want to say to you, Betty, is I read the work, and I have read every letter that he has gotten from superintendents of prison programs and other and inmates. And
yes,
I wanted to share one particular letter that he got from an inmate.
Okay.
And I want to share it with the audience and with you, and it says, I, DeMar Hampton, have personally been impacted from the Leaders Breed Leaders class taught by Mr. Cedric Dean. His class has inspired me and teaches that no even as but, especially as an ex-felon, I can become a better person and live a more positive life.
Mm.
Not only can I be a better person and live positive, I can also help and teach others to do the same through positive leadership.
Amen.
This was a letter that was sent, one of his former students sent to him. So I want to say to you, mother to mother,
Jesus,
that, and my mother used to say this to me all the time, that sometimes the work that you do as a parent, you have to step back.
Yes.
And watch it happen. And unfortunately for you, it has been having your child incarcerated.
Yes.
Some of us don't see our work. I mean, I look at my daughter, for example, and if she's listening, I hope she hears this.
Mm-hmm.
I see my work in how she parents.
Uh-huh.
Her children.
Mm-hmm.
I see my work in how she loves and cares for her father.
Yes.
And for me.
Yes.
So I see how going to Sunday school, which by the time she was a teenager, it was like I was dragging her by one foot, participating in church and my sorority activities and all these things that I had to say to her, you will do.
Yes.
How they have made a difference in her life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you about his early life in school. He is obviously so very bright.
Mm-hmm.
So very bright. I read what he writes, and I'm reading what's on his website. I read one of his books, and I'm hoping to read the other book sometime tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that, did you see that somewhere, someone missed the part that this was a bright child?
You know what?
They didn't, a teacher or a school didn't see the opportunity to make him a good, steady student. Did you see that as a parent?
I see that thoroughly, exactly what you're saying. And a little bit into me, I knew he was bright, but not this bright. And by being an author, you know, I'm so surprised myself. But, yes, in school, in 10th grade is when he dropped out, in school. When all this started happening, you know, he was going back and forth, and that's when he got in trouble, when he was 16 at the first time. But, yes, I don't think the teachers pay that much attention to them, and I'm not trying to put no blame on the teachers, but I'm committed. When I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it fully, and it's not like that now, you know. But, no, evidently they missed the mark because he is definitely bright.
Well, I think that we have to come to the reality in the black community that so many of our children, we don't have dropouts, we have pushouts.
Yes.
That our school systems, our educational strategies, our educational infrastructure and institutions fail our children. And when they fail our children begin to fail.
You are so right. You are so true. All we know is they call, and when they say that they don't go to school or what they need to do, you know, it's just not enough. It's not enough commitment to the teachers. You know, it should be more.
Well, Betty, I just want to let you know that good parenting, good morals, good belief systems, solid belief systems, is so apparent. It might have been hidden. He might have rejected them at some point in his life, but they are so apparent in his commitment to what he's doing, in his writings, and the achievement. I cannot tell you, for those who are listening,
yes,
the kind
it's
of achievements. I can't even,
yes.
I would be here for the rest of this
yes.
program.
Yes.
Talking about the work that Cedric Dean has done with other prisoners while he has been over the last 10 years.
It's
Betty,
amazing.
Can we take some
yeah.
calls? I'd like to take some calls.
Okay.
615, you're on the air with Miss Betty Dean Baker, the mother of Cedric Dean, at Our Common Ground. I respect you. Thank you for calling.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I just wanted to say hi to Betty.
Hey, Arthur. Oh, this is another one, his guardian angel, who helped him volunteer and do so much for him. Oh, thank you, Arthur, for calling, for your support, all your support. Thank you, and we love you.
You know, it's just I'm just so proud of him. At first heard about Cedric. I just happened to be playing a benefit for the Southern Center for Human Rights. It was December 10th in 2005. And I heard about this amazing guy that had written these books in prison. I went and seen him a couple times out in Atwater State Prison. And just, you know, when you meet him, you just can't help but get involved. And I'm just so proud of him. And
thank you.
He's for real.
Yes.
His smile's for real. His heart's for real. His belief in God's for real. And congratulations, Bob, Betty. And thank you so much for having the show, ma'am.
Thank you, Arthur.
Thank you, Arthur, for calling in.
I
think, Betty, from what I've read, that Arthur resonates a lot
yes.
of the
yes.
same sentiment that I see in the letters to Cedric, I see in the letters of recommendation from prison personnel.
Yes.
It's just amazing, and you should be very proud.
He's all in the books,
doing.
Too, because he has helped so much. He's in every one of the books, the last three. The last two books he's in the books. So he's Arthur, thank you for all the love and support.
You know, and Cedric's become a teacher who gives guidance through his writing. You know, Cedric teaches that family matters and respect matters, looking out for others matter, and most importantly, the choices
matter. Giving back, yes.
You know, Cedric's writings, they're those of hope that reach far beyond his present barriers, and he shines his light on everyone, and he uses his life's tragedies without malice to point for a better way of those tempted to follow in his footsteps, you know. And on the back of his book, you know, it was just so cool to put his work centered in redemption. It's a gift from him to the world and a gift for all of us to share, and I applaud him. I'll talk to you soon, Betty. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Love you. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's true. That there are people who come in contact with him because
everyone.
You know, part of
yes.
it is Betty
yes.
that
uh-huh.
Cedric is giving attention.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
I'm listening.
Cedric
uh-huh.
is giving attention
mm-hmm.
in a way to prisoners that otherwise they don't get.
He's a mentor. He's a leader. He's a mentor, but he's a positive. He's not the negative way. Yes, he is. He gives those attention. He tells me so many sad stories that bother my spirit. He don't tell me everything, but a lot of things he tells me. And, you know, I don't want to say this to get us in trouble, but I feel like I'm the Underground Railroad sometimes because I know inmate can't write to inmates. But you know me, if I get a letter to send on, I do that. I'm sorry. That's just me and my belief. I got to, you know, for them to stay in contact, and that's what I do, Janice. You know, that's one of my ministries. I'm sorry if the federal think it's wrong, but I just feel like in my heart I need to do that.
Well, I think as a private citizen you can do that.
And I do.
We're going to go to 313. You're on the air. I respect you. Thank you for your call.
Hey, Janice. This is Deborah. How you doing?
Dr. Deborah, how are you? Meet Betty
Dean
Baker.
Hi, Dr. Deborah.
Hi, Betty. How you doing?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Good. I just really wanted to say that it was interesting to listen to your son speak. And I do think he made some good points.
Thank you.
Provided some good insight. But I think that there's so much more to what I'm just concerned that no matter what we teach these young men in prison, because I'm assuming that that's who your son is having a lot of contact with, that if they come back out into the same environment and there aren't some things in the community and in the home that have changed, I just wonder what the survival rate is for them to be able to not go back into that lifestyle.
You're right. We're not doing our part out here.
Right. Okay. So, I'm very, you know, I mean, and I think we have to really be aware, too, when we're working with, Cedric's working with adults, right? I'm assuming. Tell me if I'm wrong, because they're in a penal.
He's with all kinds of people in prison, the worst to the best. Yes, you know, he's all kinds.
Right, but they're adults is my point.
Yes, they're adults, uh-huh.
Okay. Thing that he needs to remember when he talked, I was listening to him, he was saying, go into the streets and teach these young children and they'll make the choices and what have you. We got to remember that kids only have so much good decision-making how can I say this? Available.
See, that's
to
why
them
I wanted to bring the parents in there. Yes. I wanted to bring the parents in there. That's why I won't say it starts at home. But I can see, I talk to inmates all the time. They call me, because I'm Cedric's mom. I get all kinds of calls, and their lives have been transformed. You know, the people that I talk to, you know, can't do everybody, but the ones that he communicates, most of their lives are transformed. And I see what you're saying, but he's a good mentor and good role model. He's got to start from somewhere.
Well, I wasn't trying to say that he wasn't at all.
That we need 10 Cedrics in every community on the outside.
Yes. Yes.
And we do need that, but we need more than that, Janice. We need parents who...
Yes.
We need people who are sitting down with parents and telling them.
Exactly.
I've made mistakes as a parent myself, and, you know, the mistakes that I made are my mistakes. They're not the teacher's fault. They're not somebody else's fault. And when I speak with parents, I'm very open about that, you know, because we make these mistakes. We make choices no matter what it is, and we can say we did it because of A, B, and C, and, you know, we did do it because of A, B, and C, but the reality of it is the negative effect on our children is the negative effect on our children. So we have to be very open and honest and own what we did wrong, because the reality of it is, as parents, we make some mistakes.
Okay, the best tool that we can do to help.
One of the things that I like about the book is that the book is not for children. It is for parents.
That's what I was going to say. We need to visit Amazon.com or CedricDean.com. Those are some good tools in those books, very good tools.
Okay. I mean, one of the things he provides in How to Save Our Children from Crime, Drugs, and Violence that I really like is a protocol for adults who work with children, including parents. I really do like that. And I think that the thing is that we have to have committed adults.
See, he was on the wrong side. I'm sorry, go ahead. My son was on the side. He was on the wrong side for so long. He just want to give back, and he's sincere in what he's doing. I know we might not be able to reach everyone, but this is a way for the ones that are in prison or not in prison. It's a way to give back, and that's what he's trying to do. He said that's what his life is committed to right now, and I'm so proud of him. You know, and know it comes through God, but work through him, because you know, you got to let God use you, and that's what he's doing. I'm just, you know. But these books here, they are amazing.
I'm sure. I wasn't trying to say anything negative about
it. Oh, I understand. Thank you. I understand.
One of the things that I like about this book is, in very simple terms, for parents who know they have a problem,
yes,
they can identify with the problem. Dr. Deborah, when I was reading the book, that it's similar to Terry Williams' book on depression, where the reader can really identify
with the problems and with the solutions, because they are presented in a very simple way, not complex.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, the book serves as a very good parenting manual for parents
right.
who are dealing with an urban environment.
Yes.
Well, it was good to talk to you, ma'am. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Janet, can I just read
something? Thanks, Dr. Z, for your call.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
And Sedge, you know, the point Sedge is making in his books is people like him have the ability to get children to do wrong, and they also have the ability to get them to do right. And that's why that's what he's trying to do. Children listen to people like him, so he can and he will make a difference. You know, they're going to listen to them, you know, because drug dealers, whatever, you know. But then it could be turned around, and that's what he's doing now because he's giving back.
Right. Let's go to 904. You're on the air. I respect you. Thank you for your call. 904? I can hear someone trying to talk.
I hear a little noise.
Yeah, I hear a little noise. We're going to put you back on hold. Also, what are your comments about the parenting role? And, you know, one of the things that I think about, we have thousands and thousands of parents who are going with their 14-year-olds to court, and some of them are spending every dime that they have trying to keep their kids out of jail. But that intervention at that point is almost too late.
Well, you're absolutely right, Janet. Those are the points where you have to step back and you have to look at the picture, the whole picture. And in this whole picture, you have to take into consideration where the shortcomings have been and where the, you know, when is it time to pull back, and just the questioning in and of itself. What Cedric is doing at this point in time is very admirable, but it has come and has exacted a huge price. And that price has been paid not just by Cedric, but more by his mother. And that price for his decisions, with all the good intentions, Mrs. Baker was working two jobs. It's the same as, you know, as my mother. I'm a child of a single parent myself. And I have to tell you this. One of my mother's favorite, one of her favorite cliches used to be, get your bluff in early. And that simply means this.
Uh-huh.
The fear of my mother finding out, the fear of my mother, what she would do, the ramifications and repercussions of what my mother would do to me, far, far outweighed the peer pressure. It far outweighed any and everything else that I had going. I was a latchkey kid. And at 58, I'm giving you a timeline.
Uh-huh.
Of a latchkey kid back then. I've done it all. I have done it all.
Uh-huh.
But you knew when to pull up.
Uh-huh.
You knew when to pull up because there was that thing that was instilled in you.
Uh-huh.
And this is no criticism of any of the parties. It's
uh-huh.
just that I find it very admirable that at this point in time he has chosen to go down this path.
Uh-huh.
That will help possibly help someone. But as I've always said, you know, most of the people we are trying to reach aren't listening.
Uh-huh.
And most of the people who are listening, we don't need to reach. And that is the biggest problem that we have with the inner relations and the inner workings in our community. We can talk until we're blue in the face to people who don't have a dog in that fight. But the people who do have someone in that fight that needs to be listening, they aren't listening. you know, the book in and of itself and the effort that Cedric is bringing about is admirable, especially if it helps just one person, just one.
Right. What I do, I share it with, I'm involved with the church a lot. We got youth ministry, got different churches we work with, and I do work with them on my own, his books. And with the tools, you know, that'll help another child. But, you know, I know what you're saying. It's not getting out where it should be. But like I say, if we can get out to some of the people, just do what we can. We just share it, you know. And if I can be able to get this tape, I'm going to share this tape. You know, I'm going to do my ministry, you know. But I know I agree with you. Most time at church, when people there that need to hear, they're not there to hear, you know. But it takes it from us. We have to spread the word, you know, the best way we can.
You know, let me share something that Cedric writes in his book. He writes that the single most important thing I did was to learn to say no. It's funny how two simple letters can be too difficult to say. It was the root of my ungodliness and the cause of my misery. In the streets, not saying no can or will get you killed or sent to prison. Looking back, if I had said no as many times as I said yes, I would be free. The sin I committed began with me not saying no and ended with me saying yes. Yes, I understand. I've just been sentenced to life without parole. Those were the words I said to United States District Judge William Osteen, who put the period on my sentence.
That's right. And, you know, the young man who learned
to... I mean,
those
are some heavy... I mean,
yes.
Even if, you know, one of the things that I plan to do is I'm buying a couple of copies of Cedric's book, and I plan to give them as Kwanzaa gifts.
Amen.
To colleagues and friends who have young boys. I intend to give a copy to my daughter and my grandson so that bit by bit we can begin to read these things to our sons and our grandsons and our nephews and our brothers. So that they understand what the barriers can and will be. And one of the things that I intend to do is put and buy a copy to put in two of the shelters that I support. Shelters where there are single women who are trying, who are homeless and trying to struggle with their families that also contain young boys in their families. And don't get it twisted, because in every city in this country, girls are joining gangs, they are exchanging sex, young girls in junior high school, exchanging sex for acceptance. So I think that this is one of the books that can be helpful. And I'm hoping to find some kind of parenting program that I also can give a copy of this book to. Because we need as much help as we can. Betty, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us at Our Common Ground, and that I think that you have every reason to be proud of your boy who became a man, a good man, even though he is in prison.
Well, I thank you. I can't begin to thank you, Janet, for you are really the first radio broadcasting for this ministry, for this mega of what we have done tonight. It's just a start, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart, you know, what you have done. And I just believe that other people have heard, you know, all over, and I just believe it's going to help somebody. You know, it doesn't take but, you know, just for us to do this for 2 hours. I just believe it's going to spread all over the world. I really do. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, we want you to stay strong, because you certainly have a story to tell.
Yes, I do.
And I encourage you to continue to tell your story as a mother.
mothers need to hear your mistakes,
mm-hmm.
to hear about your blind side.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the thing is, as parents, we all tend to want to believe the best about our children.
But I can see myself all in that book, yes.
Yes, and you know, I can look back and even discovering even now
mm-hmm.
lies that were told where at the time I knew it, but I just didn't have the strength or the spirit to argue about it.
Yes.
As a parent.
Yes.
Betty Dean Baker, thank you so very much. And we are looking forward to doing some kind of live interview with Cedric
okay.
as soon as we can.
Thank you.
For being
thank
our
you.
Common ground, and we will be
take,
in touch.
Okay. Thank
take
you.
Care.
Okay.
Take
bye-bye.
Care, Ms. Baker.
Thank you. Bye bye.
We were talking with Ms. Betty Dean Baker, who is the mother of Cedric Dean, the author of How to Save Our Children. I'm just so really fascinated, Alpho, by this man's commitment and passion to this. You know, I said to Stephen, I think that this is a book that every black fraternity ought to be using in developing their manhood and their parenting training program, working with absent fathers. Because it's simple and it gets to the point. It's not rocket science. It reminds us of the things that we already know. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to tell you about some special things we're doing here at Our Common Ground. And to let you know that next Saturday, Alpha will be back at the Alpha Show at 3 p.m. here at Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Really hope to achieve much of the same results as I have in here. One of my most proudest accomplishments came from a 23-year-old white inmate named Shannon Dyker. Shannon was sexually abused by his own father at the age of 11, and it played a significant role in Shannon's future criminal behavior. After I helped Shannon to move from irrational thinking and behavior to responsible thinking and behavior, he was able to graduate from my GED class as well as co-author a manifesto with me for saving other abused kids. Three things helped change his thinking. First, I got him to look at situations more independently and precisely so he could think through his thoughts. Second, I got him to see how misguided thinking produced negativity. And third, I convinced him to believe in his ability to be stronger and better. I told him he could think like a victim or a survivor. The biggest thing was to get him to realize that what happened was a thing of the past, and what happens from this point forward is solely up to him.
You're listening to Our Common Ground. We thank you for being with us, and we thank Cedric Dean, author, activist, prisoner, and founder of How to Save Our Children, for joining us from Lee Prison in Virginia tonight. Our Common Ground. Blog Talk Radio. I'm Janice Grant.
Because for me, this isn't a political issue, it's more of a practical issue. Kids need dads, and do we want to create a society where kids can grow up with involved, responsible, and committed fathers or not? And whether you're Republican or Democrat or liberal or conservative, the reality is that this issue affects you in a big, big way in terms of what's happening in communities and related to our report. It affects you from a taxpayer. So if you're concerned about the $100 billion annually that the government is spending, then we need to be very focused on this issue. So I appreciate the perspective.
Alpha, I want to thank you again for being with us here at Our Common Ground. But I want to tell everyone some things that we're doing in the second week of December, which is Monday, December 6th through Friday, December 10th. We're going to be doing 5 nights of Our Common Ground, a special with Dr. Deborah, talking about the issue of children, incarcerated family and parents, the issue of visitation, the issue of what we should be doing to possibly restructure the way in which we think about those things. Also, it really came out of a discussion that we were having on Facebook. And so December 6th through December 10th, with a few guests, Denise Bowles and hopefully Michelle Alexander and some other experts to join us to talk about these issues. Carol Siegel Snow out of Arizona, and we hope to, you know, just throw these around. So we're going to be on the air from 8 to 10, Monday through Friday, at Our Common Ground, and we hope that all of you will join us for that very special broadcast. And you're going to be up. I know you've got lots of things to talk about this coming Saturday about what's going on in the political scene. What's the hot button before we get out of here?
Well, Dennis, just let me say this. I'm having a problem trying to catch someone who's already jumped. I'm having a problem trying to defend the untenable, the indefensible. This president has a serious, serious decision to whether or not he's going to stand with the middle class, with the progressives and liberals that voted him into office, or will he seal his fate by extending these tax cuts for even a year to the wealthy? If they are going to hold the middle class tax cuts hostage, let them, and then campaign on that. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, mm-hmm. they have fallen so far short. The Democrats have fallen so far short in their strategizing, and they should have already had a bill to extend the middle class tax cuts in this lame duck session and passed it through the House, budget reconciliated through the Senate, and him sign it into law, and just let the other Bush call them the Obama tax cuts for the middle class. And that is just simple strategy. And
so
it hasn't been done.
You're still hoping that this president is going to stick with his base, number one, and number two, make his mark in history.
Well, you can hope. You can hope, and I also hope that I can hope.
Alfo.
The Santa
Claus.
Well,
we'll see what happens, because the first salvo is going to be played out tomorrow during the Sunday shows. Again, I am looking forward to next weekend with Alpha at 3 p.m. here at Blog Talk Radio. And he broadcasts from 3 to 4 at Alpha. And then at 4 o'clock, Alpha rocks the mic some more at TruthWorks Network. All of our times are Eastern Standard Time. I would encourage you to go to Amazon.com to purchase the book, How to Save Our Children, by Cedric Dean. Alpha, I noticed you didn't say anything about the rap that Preach wrote for me.
That's
you didn't
probably
hear it?
Because I heard it, but that's probably because I'm a fierce opponent of rap. And I was taught long ago, if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. But sometimes
well, listen
I
to
like
it. If they can't finish, it isn't real. In my book,
listen to it now. You're ready for it?
With young prisoners.
It's about to come up right now.
But their parents,
yeah,
community,
like I got a
and school officials could have done this.
You got to
I
hear it.
That their answers will save children. The biggest lesson that you will learn
almost
is
there.
In order to get through to kids,
y'all listen
they
up.
Must understand
you. Preach is,
and they
preach
must believe
is rapping
that
on
you
the
can
hour
understand them
down.
Too. The book is available at Amazon.com. It's only $10, a very small investment to preserve the future of our youth. I want to say thank you again to Dennis for giving me this opportunity, and I want to say God bless you all, and God bless our children.
By believing that you really are what the white world considers a nigga.
You ready for it, Alpha?
Okay.
I'm just trying to ask you, you don't have a rap, so you would like to be excited about my rap.
No.
You are now tuned in to Our Common Ground, where we discuss the real issues that's happening now. My girl Janice Graham, she be putting it down, from the streets to the prison and everybody around. She all about the truth, no lies involved. She speaks the words that'll help us all stand tall. And when it's all said and done, at the end of the day, we pray that somebody was changed by the words of Miss J, Janice Graham. Yeah.
Alpha, and we want to thank all of you for being with us, especially our callers, Brother Brock, an author, Dr. Deborah, thank you so very much. 904, we're sorry we weren't able to connect with you. Be with us next Saturday night at Our Common Ground. Alpha, thank you again, and thank to all of you who joined us in our chat room. I'm Janice Graham, and I'll be listening for you next week. Here at Our Common Ground. Thank you for being with us here tonight at Our Common Ground. I'm Janice Graham, and I'd like to extend my special thank you to the author, activist, and the founder of How to Save Our Children, Cedric Dean, and to the rapper Preach, both prisoners at Lee Prison in Virginia. I'd also like to thank Miss Betty Baker for sharing her story, and for providing us the stuff to stay strong. Thank you for being with us. We'll see you next Saturday night at Our Common Ground. I'm Janice Graham, and I'll be listening for you. Purchase a copy of Cedric Dean's book, How to Save Our Children. You can do so by going to Amazon.com. It is available there. Hope that you make it part of your personal library. How to Save Our Children. The author has been our guest tonight, Cedric D.